This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And, oh, hold on. You little brat. Sorry. I've got... Wait, I'm puppy sitting.
It just went under the desk. Get out of there. All right. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 27th, episode 1481, brought to us by the auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, we're out here at Pony Swim Lane. We're out on the fire company dock, and we see the saltwater cowboys out on the marsh horizon, and they're coming down through the marsh grass right now. They'll be coming around the turn. The Coast Guard is about to light the red flare for us. That gives us a signal that they'll be entering the water, and there's the flare now, so we see that going off, and the ponies are officially in the water.
Well, that was from last year, but that'll be happening here in a few minutes. The Chincoteague Pony Swim, the 91st annual Chincoteague Pony Swim, is taking place. The ponies will go into the water between 9 and 11 this morning, so pretty soon. I tried to track down somebody. I know a couple of my friends are there, but I have not been able to get a hold of them. Maybe they have no cell service at Chincoteague. I don't know, but I was trying to get a live report. So if anybody knows anybody that's there, can give us a live report
somebody
on the show this morning.
From there.
Yes, I mean something.
That would have been so cool.
Give us something. But anyway, so that's coming up. Of course, Misty of Chincoteague and all that stuff.
I heard of it. That's so cool. That's one of those things you've always wanted to go to. At least I have. So it's one of those things I think it's like a bucket list thing for all horse chicks. Because we all read Marguerite Henry's book.
And you and 10,000 of your friends. Because apparently the number of people that attend this thing now is unbelievable. There's going to be about 100 ponies making the swim. And of course they auction some of them off to keep the herd down a little bit on the island there. And they'll be doing that over the next couple of days. It's a week-long event there now. It's a huge thing. And it all benefits the fire department.
Now, are these ponies considered Mustangs?
No, I don't think so. Jennifer, do you?
That's a good question. I don't know what their official governmental status is. Yeah, do they have green cards?
I always thought they were known as Chincoteague ponies. I don't think they're known as Mustangs.
I mean, they could be Mustangs. They've been around for generations.
Aren't Mustangs just a mixture of all breeds that all melded together? I mean,
they're the best of the best.
There you go.
But I don't know if Chincoteague ponies have been separated for so long that they're their own, you know, bloodline. There was nothing mixed in.
Well, here's the deal. We need to get somebody on that's like an expert.
We're going to solve that. Denise is working on getting one of the wranglers who helped with the swim today on Friday. So maybe we can find out more about Denise working on that. Ace guest booker is working on it.
Well, hey, before we get to Jennifer, I just want to say that I am puppy sitting one of the puppies that was abandoned in the street by my arena. And if you hear any yipping or barking, it's because that puppy plays nonstop with Danny, my other dog. So it's just mass dog chaos in my house right now. Chad,
and then Lucky
actually
just stands there and watches him go by.
Oh, he just sleeps. You kidding me?
He's going, those children are playing again.
He just sleeps. Damn kids. Keep it down in there. Turn that music down. That's Lucky.
What's wrong with you too?
So sorry if you hear any dog barking. It's just the one thing, and it's that ear-piercing puppy bark. The puppy's like 6 months old and it's a little puppy. And so it's like just so high pitched, it makes your ears bleed. So you're welcome if you get that.
So we'll just add that to a certain whinny that we play every once in a while.
Exactly.
And we'll have a whole chorus of.
Yeah. Chad actually left town yesterday and I picked up the puppy the day before. And he's like, I am not sad that I'm leaving while your puppy's sitting. Because I have to give it to another friend to puppy sit the second week because I had Damani's on Saturday. Yay!
So how long were you supposed to puppy sit this thing?
Yeah, a while.
You know, puppy sitting for about a week is good, and then it gets old.
This is a 3-week thing because it was contingent upon adoption. We can take the dog, except for we're going to be gone for almost 3 weeks. So can you dog sit? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Just take it.
So in other words, these people have to live with this dog full time because of you. And this is their way of just getting you back.
You know what? The worst ones are the cutest ones, though. So that's how, like, that's how God evens everything out.
I saw the picture the other day you posted.
He's adorable. Yeah. He's adorable.
There's no such thing as an ugly, naughty dog.
No. All the naughty ones know, are cute. The ugly ones
that's
are the
right.
good ones. See, it's all balances
that's
out
right.
in the world of Zen and chakras right. and all that, whatever.
It balances the universe. It does.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Crappiest Wednesday edition, we will start out with Paralympian Lauren Barwick, and she's going to be heading off to Rio for the Canadian team, so she's going to tell us how that's going. And then next up, we're going to have a look at Triangle X Ranch from Robert Turner, having been visiting there and got to catch up with her heart horse. Aww. And at the finish, Olympic alternate Elisa Wallace, our favorite eventer, has a special announcement. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Before I do Daily Winnies, I just wanted to mention that Facebook police have caught me, Jamie. They've caught up with me.
What did you do?
Well, see, I have my account, my personal account under Glenn the Geek. And somebody turned me in because I got an email from the Facebook police saying, you need to show 2 forms of identification or we will remove your account. Now, the reason...
So you mean your driver's license doesn't say the geek is
well,
your last name?
Well, a couple of the listeners thought I should maybe change my name instead of the account. so that was their solution. But means I have to change it to my real name, which, by the way, nobody in the horse world knows because I've been using Glenn the Geek for so long. So I have to change that to my real name. So I did start a celebrity page under Glenn the Geek.
Look at you,
so
though,
now
big
I have
dog.
A celebrity profile page. So I would highly recommend you find the Glenn the Geek celebrity page if you are friends with me on the personal page. What I'm going to do is change that to my real name, and I'm going to make it a friends and family only page. I'm just going to cut it way back.
And, which nobody wants to see.
And nobody wants really. To see the friend except the friends and family. So I'm going to cut that one way back. And so if you're following me as the celebrity that I am, go over to Facebook and look for Glenn the Geek. And follow my page there, and I'll be posting all
you
of
know,
the scooter
I'm gonna,
stuff.
I'm going to bring you down a notch because I'm pretty sure Thor and Zeus's page is celebrity.
They too. Are. They are. Yep. Yep. That's correct.
So,
you know, I should have done this 5 years ago. I should have set it up that way. But when we started with Facebook, at least when I started, they didn't have the pages like for businesses, like the horse is in the morning page. Those didn't exist. That was pre all of that.
That was the only option you had.
Yeah, it was the only option we had. And, you know, there were a lot of people apparently been getting caught because they put their horses' names instead of their own and, you know, put their business names on their personal account. Well, they're starting to crack down on that. And you literally have to send them 2 forms of ID that show what your name is or they will suspend your account. The problem I have with that is all of the business accounts are tied to that personal account. So all of them get suspended if I get suspended. So I have to
keep your nose that clean. Out. Keep your Facebook nose clean.
Damn, Facebook police caught me.
Keep your Facebook.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to some new auditors we have this week. Thank you to Sarah Thompson, who's a carriage driver up in the northern part of the country. Cassidy Eckstein. That's a cool name, Cassidy. And Kimberly, who has no last name, apparently. Kimberly, thank you so much also for becoming brand new auditors. We really appreciate all of our auditors. You too can become an auditor for as little as $1 a month. Head over to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a big banner in the middle of the page. Just click it to find how to become an auditor. And it is your turn.
So I was going to give my Daily Winnie to Elisa Wallace because she's auctioning off her. This is really cool. She's auctioning off her saddle and she's going to come on and tell us about it. But I picked my Daily Winnie before I knew you booked her as a guest. So I'm not going to do that one. I will give it to Lucas, who now decides that every morning when he wakes up and or he wakes up from a nap, he cries uncontrollably and says, I want to go back to Wyoming. And I haven't.
You're moving to the wrong state.
Well, oh my God. It's one of those, it's that time of year where like the pool is too hot and it's not
a sauna now.
It's
become a sauna.
It's just awful. One of my horses, now Rio, the boarded horse, just came up with anhidrosis. It's just, this place sucks right now. And there's mosquitoes now in my property because we irrigate and blah, blah, blah. So I don't blame you, little man. I want to go back to Wyoming too. So I do have a video if you want me to post it. It's him crying, going, I want to go back to Wyoming.
Probably go viral.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, dude, I get it. I mean, what do you say? You're like, me too. I have nothing for you. Me too.
Well, I do have a very important announcement that was put out on the Humane Society's page. And, you know, the whole soaring issue and, you know, the big lick thing that we've been talking about. I don't think we need to rehash what it is. Everybody listening to this show certainly knows what it is. Well, this week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has issued a new proposed rule fulfilling a number of the requests from all of the lawmakers and the Humane Society and stuff. And apparently the proposed rule contains game-changing reforms to end the battle against soaring of the Tennessee walking horses. And this basically what it says is it adds to the PAST Act, the PAST Act, that was already in place. And what it abolishes the current system of industry. This is where the problem was. The PAST Act said, you guys have to stop soaring and stop being bad people. But we're going to let you police yourself to make sure you stop being bad people, right? That's what the PAST Act said. Well, they didn't stop being bad people. So now the new regulation says they're going to abolish the current system of industry self-regulation, and in its place, they're implementing a network of independent third-party inspectors licensed, trained, and overseen by the USDA.
I would like to volunteer for that job.
There you go. I don't think they want emotionally unstable people who would be around that situation in that job, because that's what you would be at that point.
No, I would be a serious policeman and they'd all go home. But I can't believe that in this day and age, it is 2016, that we can still sit there and Glenn, why'd you get me started?
Oh, anyway, well, let me just continue.
Why
and we'll get to our guest,
sit there,
okay?
And watch,
let me just continue because this is good news. Prohibiting the use of stacked horseshoes, ankle chains, and other action devices at competitions on horses in the Tennessee walking, racking, and related breeds. So this is good. Basically, what it did is it made one big change, two big changes. It enhanced the number of things you're not allowed to use, and it also said you're not self-regulating anymore. The USDA is going to hire people to go out and do that and find them to oblivion or bar them or whatever they're going to do. So that was good news. I just wanted to give it as good news, and I'll get you right off that topic because apparently, remember the equestrians bear all thing that was going around for the helmet campaign? And that said, I'd rather go naked than wear a helmet. And it was, what, last year that this really started in July, like summer of last year? Well, it's resurged again, and there's a whole new wave of it going on, and apparently a lot of the New Zealanders have picked it up. And they're posting pictures to the point where a couple times they were doing it in public and the police were called. And they had to kind of explain to the police what was going on. And of course, they're holding signs up in all the right places. But that campaign has taken on a new life again. And if you want to see new pictures, you can go to horsetalk.co.nz. Did that take your mind off of it?
It did. And I did want to offer you an apology as well.
What was that?
Are you ready?
Did you do one?
No. This is totally unrelated. Oh. Totally unrelated. Before we get to our first guest, I just wanted to say you're right.
I was right about something? And you're admitting it?
Those words tasted really bad.
This is 5 years, 1,400 episodes. I finally get one.
I went to see The Secret Life of Pets again yesterday because that's what you do when it's 110.
I got to tell you, I was shocked when you made that post. You loved it so much the first time.
Well, when you have a child that's screaming, I want to go see Pets. I want to go see Pets. I went back and saw it again. And you remember the first time I went with like 10 kids
and my dad, who was in town, and then Lucas and I. And I just didn't think it was funny. I didn't really listen. I just kind of was like,
we had an argument on the air over that movie.
Yeah, we did. And I went back without my, when I was watching it, my dad was sitting next to me and he was snoring and or trying to talk to me. So I didn't feel like I really was able to get into it. So this time I was like, I'm going to go back and watch it with a little more, you know, pay attention a little better and just give it another chance. So I went and I loved it. I totally loved it. I thought it was because I could hear for the theater I went to, the volume wasn't loud enough. My dad was snoring. There's freaking kids everywhere. And I just went with Lucas and I and my girlfriend of ours, Shannon. And it was so funny. And the bunny in that, Kevin Hart, did the best job ever. But the animators did such a great job with the bunny. And oh my gosh, you guys, if you haven't seen The Secret Life of Pets, go see it. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yay, I was right.
I laughed out loud like 10 times.
I thought, because I get actually I was actually shocked when you did. I think because first of all, none of the listeners didn't like it either. They all liked it. And I think everybody's kind of shocked. So that just goes to show you the attitude you go in with to a certain movie or a concert or whatever also is how you're going to come out.
You're exactly right. And it was just the fact that I was trying
just
to
too much going on.
Keep the kids happy. And then, you know, and I gave an unfair review. So I wanted to retract my review and give it a better one.
I'm
and
sure I, ticket sales are going to go through the roof now the rest of the week.
And they have me to thank for that. So,
well, let's talk to somebody who's been on our shows before, Lauren Barwick. It's Lauren's fourth Paralympics. During her career, she has won a gold and silver medal at the 2008 Games in Beijing, and most recently a silver and bronze medal at the 2014 World Equestrian Games in Normandy. She is the number one ranked Canadian para equestrian rider and was honored with the Canadian Equestrian of the Year Award in 2008 and 2014. And I'm sure she doesn't remember, but she was one of our first guests ever on the Horse Radio Network back in 2009 on the Stable Scoop radio show. Loren, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm glad to be here this morning.
Well, it's so good to have you. Go ahead.
Sorry. It was great getting ready this morning. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear.
See, that's the advantage of radio over video. You're absolutely, that's why we do radio and not video.
Loren, I'm in my pajamas right now.
Perfect. Yeah. I almost got frantic about not finding my brush this morning, but I'm like, I don't need my brush. I don't even need to brush my teeth. Anyway.
Where are you at right now, Loren?
I'm in Florida, Reddick, Florida, at my place. I have a place here now in Reddick.
Oh, you're right down the street from us. We're in Ocala. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to be on a horse while I did the interview, except for that I'm having an arena put in right now, and there's a lot of noise out there. So I thought, maybe not.
Well, you have to be excited. Well, first of all, you heard me read your introduction. Did you think in the year 2000 that I would be giving you all those accolades on a radio, on an international radio show at this point in your life?
No. In 2000, I was concerned that I couldn't reach the toaster, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, and I really did not think it was going to be revolved around horses. So 16 years ago, absolutely, totally had no idea what I was going to do with myself.
I re-listened to our interview we did back in 2009 this morning. And of course, you had just got done winning the gold medal in Beijing. And we're not going to talk about, let's just say, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. If it could go wrong before in the lead up to that Olympics Games for Loren, it went wrong, including when she got there. Just everything went wrong for that whole 6 months leading up to it. And then she surprised everybody, including herself, by winning the gold. And I don't want to, you know, go through all of that again, but I hope that the lead up to this Games has been a little less traumatic than the last.
Absolutely. Completely. And, you know, our team camp is going to be here in Reddick, so I don't have to worry about flying to California for team camp. You know, the horses fly out of Miami. So the lead up has been very anticlimactic. Let's just put it that way.
Well, let's keep it that way, Loren. We don't need to redo what you did the last time.
No. Well, you know, the end results. I mean, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you can redo that part. Maybe the end result, the gold medal part. Yeah, you can do that again.
Yeah.
Well, let's just for people who have, it's been a long time since you've been on the show. So for people who don't know your story, this was what has caused you to be in the Paralympics, and you do ride able-bodied also, but what caused you to be in the Paralympics was kind of a bizarre accident back in 2000, right?
Mm-hmm. A 100-pound bale of hay fell on my back, fell 10 feet and severed my spine. I look at it, and you know, we watch a lot of action films. I look at some of these things. I go, you know, they could at least have like a torn rotary cuff after that. You know, I broke my back from a bale of hay. I mean, people are, you know, not even limping off. So yeah, it's just depends on, I guess, how it hit me or who knows, but. It definitely derailed the direction I was headed in my life.
You know what, though, that's cool about it is it hasn't defined your life. You haven't let it define your life. You've gone on and you've done some amazing things, including gold medals, which 99.99% of us have never accomplished. So good for you for that. But you've had some help along the way with some fantastic horses. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your current steed.
Yeah. Onyx. He's from Germany. It's a new partnership, which is again a bit of a concern for us, but that's the way it is. We've had him. I started riding him about the end of September, and he came from Germany, and it was quite an adjustment for him coming to Florida. He's 13, and I don't think he adjusted as well as he could have. You know, with the heat and allergies and the what we have here in the air here in Florida. And so it's taken him a little while to adjust. He's a very smart, he's a quick learner. He's 17.2 hand high black gelding.
Oh, he's beautiful.
So he's a looker. Yeah, he's gorgeous. He's a totally different horse and a different ride from any other horse I've had. He's more settled, but he makes you work for everything. So, you know, he's quick, he learns quickly, but you have to work hard for it, and he doesn't give it away. Whereas Paris, my last mare, she would overcry, which also has its challenges because she, you know, anticipate and offer, you know, a beautiful pee off when you're supposed to be halting. So, you know, every horse is different. And so for me, it's been an interesting change in my mental frame on how do I get the best out of this horse. And it's a type of horse that I've not owned before, more left brain horse. We call it left brain introvert extrovert. So it's really, he needs to know what's in it for him and why are we doing this and why should I put that much effort in? But very smart. And Canada owns him. So I've had some sponsors and some funders who have all helped to acquire him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we can accomplish here in another 5 weeks.
What do you say Canada owns him? What's that mean?
Well, there have been some donations to Canada, and On the Podium is a program that we have where it's funding partners come together and they identify, On the Podium identifies people who have been in the process and in the program and are on track in their mind to podium again, or, you know, have the potential or have shown the potential. So more funding goes towards them, but it's given to your organization. It's not just given to the rider. So the organization Canada then says, all right, well, Laura needs a new horse. She's proven over and over again to produce results. So we're going to help her acquire the horse. So in actuality, Equine Canada is the owner of my horse. You know, I pay for all, you know, his first costs and his you know, veterinary work and whatnot. But yeah, they own him. They owned Off to Paris as well.
Now, so, you use a little bit of an altered saddle. What things are on the saddle to help you out? Because you're paralyzed from the waist down, so you're allowed to use certain things to help you from just sliding off.
Correct. I have a handlebar. We call it, well, sometimes it's a bad word, but it's more of an oh crap bar. So, you know, you reach down and you grab it. It's not a like, la, 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 I'm holding on to it. I only grab it when it's an oh moment. And I've had to use it a couple times. I have some knee rolls and I have some strategically placed Velcro straps that can only be 1 square inch by 1 square inch. FEI has very important regulations. When they look at your saddle, I was red flagged in 2014 because I gained some weight and the saddle actually now looked like it was holding me in. And my chef de cuisine was going to joke around and tell them that I was pregnant, but I thought that wasn't probably appropriate. So we just lost the weight. But they do. They have stewards that look at the saddles and make sure that they're within regulations and then they're safe. So they're allowed to support you to ride, but they have to be safe. They can't have you like locked onto the saddle. So you have Velcro straps and I put rubber bands over my feet to keep them in the stirrups. And my saddle's quite old, but it's been the one that's kept me going. And I've had some fabulous saddle makers who have helped keep me in that saddle. And after this game, it's got to be retired. So we'll be moving forward with something else.
What do you do to compensate for the leg aids? What do you use? Because you really don't have leg aids. So what do you use to compensate for the leg aids?
Well, a lot of stuff. You know, I think people, when you really look at it, your seat is what is, you know, 80% of your riding should be your seat. So, you know, from the knees up, you know, your shoulders, your seat, your belly button, your shoulders, that's your seat. So if your horse is truly going off of your seat, and you can make suggestions to your horse through your weight, your horse should be able to follow that. So, you know, too many people have the use of their legs and they overuse their legs. They over rely on them. So I use 2 whips and voice, and I really develop a partnership as well with my horse on the ground so that we have a better level of communication. You know, I've used Purely Natural Horsemanship for that so that, you know, I use my voice and I teach them on the ground first what my voice aids are. And then I use my sticks. I try to use my sticks primarily for lateral work, because if I have to use my sticks for go, then how do I get the lateral work? You know, and if the horses are really operating at a refined level, I should be able to ride them without sticks, you know, just by adjusting where my energy comes from, my hips, my belly button, where I position my weight, my shoulders, little half halt with one rein, and shift of my hips. So you really have to learn how to ride at a refined level and keep your things. You learn to value the use of my whips and my sticks, because I can do, you know, flying lead changes and can, you know, half pass, canter half pass. I can do all that stuff if my sticks, and I like to use the word sticks because it sounds nicer than whips, are left for the refinement. And then when a horse is really confused, you know, Onyx, when I tried him in Germany, I mean, I couldn't canter him. He didn't understand. He had no idea. And he didn't understand voice aid at all. Voice meant nothing to him. So we did a lot of extended trot because I couldn't get him into the canter. We extended trotted for days, forward and beautiful, beautiful extended trot. So, you know, I will put my trainer on and say, can you help him understand that? So she will use the voice aid, she'll use the stick aid, and then she'll back it up with her leg. So the horse learns what happens before what happens happens. And you just have to keep always going back to, this is the aid you're going to learn. This is your old aid. And you use the old aid to help him understand. And he's learned quite quickly. You know, I can do walk to canter now. I can do flying changes. And 9 months ago, there was no canter. there was a lot of whacking. So, a lot of clucking, a lot of smooching.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask too. Yeah. Can you use those vocal aids in the competition?
Yes, I can. And the idea, even in able-bodied, you know, I compete able-bodied. And the idea is I'm not being given any aid, but do not put me on the even playing field. So, you know, it just makes it fair for me to be able to ride. And, you know, some judges don't read my dispensation card, and so they'll go -2 every time they hear my voice. And then I have to go back and kindly ask them to give me my points back. But it's, you know, it's just puts me on an even playing field. There's nothing that I can use that gives me, in my mind, an advantage. And I always tell people, I'm like, I'll tell you what, we'll trade. We'll give you an epidural for the day. and you can use whatever you like, but not your legs. And I'm going to get the use of your legs for just one day. You know, and they look at me like I'm, you know, nuts.
So when you go up to the judge and you say, Anima, points back because you give me -2 every time I clock, but I can't use my legs. Are they like dumbfounded and just knock them over with a feather that what they witnessed was so beautiful?
Sometimes it doesn't happen as often anymore because the steward, you know, it's becoming so, you know, 6 years ago, even national shows weren't even holding the para classes. And now because we're affiliated with FEI, you go to a lot of national shows and it's the FEI paraquestrian test. So the judges are much more educated. The technical stewards are, and every once in a while they get it, you know, they'll say, don't use your whip so much. And, you know, I don't go to them with that because I just go like, okay, you know, I'll do my best not to use my whip so much. So yeah, sometimes they're shocked. Sometimes they have no idea. Sometimes the show secretary tells them. And sometimes I prefer that they don't know, because here's what happens is I go to these shows and I need to know where I'm at nationally. I need to know how I'm going to fare internationally. And sometimes the judges are like, oh, wow, look at what she's doing. And my horse is gorgeous. He goes in and, you know, people are like, wow. I don't want pity points because that doesn't help me figure out where I am, right? So, you know, if the movement's worth a 6, but, oh, wow, she's doing without legs, don't give me a 7. I need to know it's a 6 because the dressage has to be pure. It has to be correct. You know, and it's my job to figure out how to do it with this disability, with this challenge. And
I gotta
and
say,
so sometimes, yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, just sometimes it's discouraging for me when I come out of the ring and, you know, the ride wasn't very good. And, you know, at the end they say, you know, good luck in Rio. And I'm thinking, gosh, are they giving me that score? Because, you know, they're like, good luck, you know? And I'm like, thank you, but
I earned this, damn it.
Proper score. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my, I got to tell you, I wish that people in the world had 1/10 of your passion, focus, determination, your hardworking. I wish I was 1/10 of the woman as you are. And it's been such an interesting education talking to you because I haven't heard your story before. So just so inspiring. And I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking us through this. It's just incredible.
And there's something else. I don't want to get in trouble with the fans, Loren, but we have a lot of listeners who are into Heartland. And I know you've been on Heartland, right?
Stop it. It just gets better.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have not seen Heartland, but I know the listeners have, and they love that show. They were just talking about it on our Facebook page the other day. How was it to do a TV show?
Well, it was awesome. I was at the Pirelli Ranch. I was managing Pat's Barn, and I got a call from them, and they said, we want to bring you up to Alberta. I'm like, well, I'm in Florida. And they wanted me to bring, they brought my horse up, which is a horse that I was borrowing from someone up in Ontario, this fabulous Grand Prix horse that I was training on and learning on and seeing if he'd be a potential new horse. They transported him all the way to Florida or from Florida to Alberta. It was -40 with a wind chill in November. And it was just up the road from Spruce Meadows, and like there was snow piled high. And it was really neat because, you know, I wasn't actually really necessarily playing the paralyzed person, even though I was. I played myself, Lorenz Bauert, Paralympian gold medalist. And, you know, the gentleman could come back from war and was paralyzed, and he wanted to sell his horse. And, you know, she tricked him into coming to see me ride. And so when he showed up, he saw me riding, but he didn't know that I was paralyzed. So then they show me getting off, and then I get to speak. It was exciting. And they filmed even me playing with my horse on the ground and showing, you know, what I did on the ground. And, it was pretty awesome. And it was awesome to play yourself, but in like a show, you know, that's like a TV show, not like a reality show, but
did you actually have to go to makeup and do all that too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I had these little hot patches all over my body like a fungus. It was so cold. You know, I have people that message me and they go, Loren, did you know you were a Heartland? And I'm like, yeah. You know, it's kind of like, it's like the dressage day. I'm on the cover of Dressage Day and I have clients calling me up, Loren, how did this happen? Did you know? And I'm like, kinda.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't just sort of like, you know, come into my room and take pictures of me sleeping. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. You know, it's been an incredible journey. And to be able to represent what I love, my discipline, my horsemanship, my partnership, and, you know, inspire people to achieve excellence. I think that's the big thing is I want to bridge the gap with horsemanship and performance, show people what they can do. And it doesn't have to be in riding. It just pursue excellence in whatever you're doing in every day. And
well,
when I say that, I have to tell you, I have bad days. I have really bad days. Right. And bad days are okay. So, you know, at the end of the day, I go, all right, well, what did I accomplish in my bad day? Did I not kill someone? Do I still, does my partner still love me? I hope so, because I had a bad day. So, you know, a lot of people, I don't want people to think that I don't have bad days because I do.
Well, it's always a joy having you on. Do you promise to come back after the Olympics when you have your next gold medal?
Yeah.
Now you can come on. I said that wrong. I was thinking positive for you, but I was thinking positive for you. But you're welcome to come back regardless. Okay, I want you back regardless. Okay. But I, you know, we'd prefer if you had the gold medal. I'm just saying.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So just saying that.
Well, you know, the thing that I think, and I have to go into this with, you know, I'm a realist. I believe that we can do it, but. The top six riders in my class are all medal riders. They're all medalists and have the ability. And they're all under, you know, I think under 28 or 29. And I'm 38. And training is getting harder. And, you know, I'm thinking, my gosh, what am I doing? You know, and so for me, obviously I'm going because I want a medal. But it's... it's this incredible feeling to be riding with such a level of riders. You know, it's one thing to go to a competition and, oh, you won, but you look at the riders and you go, well, right, you know, what did you win against? These riders that I'm competing against have incredible ability and have these disabilities that, you know, missing legs and, you know, just what they're doing is so incredible. And to be riding with these type of people and be in their class and be in their presence is just, it's a privilege. And, you know, I think we are all coming into it wanting to motivate, inspire, obviously medal, win. But to be in that class is just incredible.
We're rooting for you. And I know that you also have a GoFundMe or a campaign right now because to pay your way. And where can people find that?
GoFundMe, Loren Barwick, LaurenBarwick. If you look that up under GoFundMe, my Facebook page, people want to add me to their Facebook page. And there's some great things. I'm not just doing a GoFundMe. It's going to be a raffle. So there's a Pirelli course I'm giving away. Like the campus is giving one away. I'm giving out books. 20 people will get postcards from me from Rio. And there's a fabulous fishing trip in off of Vancouver Island. Lodging and a fishing charter. So 20 or 30 lucky people will also get something in return for helping me in these last 5 weeks to really be able to focus on my training.
LorenBarwick.com is where you can find all of her information. Check her out there. And we're going to have to get together one of these days. We're really close, so we'll have to get that arranged too when you get back.
That would be awesome.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Loren.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I don't care what you have going on in your day. If that didn't inspire you today, you just go back to bed.
My gosh. What? Yeah. I mean, that's as inspiring as we can possibly get on this show. So how about that? I got nothing else to say.
There you go. What a cool girl, lady. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for a commercial, and then we're going to come back with an interview. Tell us about that.
You want me to tell you now or when
tell
back?
Me, tell us now.
Okay. So I went to Triangle X Ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And I got to sit down and talk to the owner. And
His name is Robert Turner, and they've had the ranch for generations, and he'll tell you a little bit about it and talk to you about the experience that you'll have out there, and I'll make fun of him, and he'll probably make fun of me.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
So we've talked about it on the show before, and there are not many places in the world that I would rather be than Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and at a very specific ranch called Triangle X. It's where, gosh, I came here as a kid. I was 7 years old, and then I came back several times in my later years with and by myself and with others. And it's just been a place that I've always come for friends and fun and horses and scenery and really good food too. And I'm sitting here at Triangle X staring out at the Tetons, and I'm sitting with the owner, fourth generation owner and manager, Robert Turner. Hey, Robert.
Well, hello. How are you doing, Jamie?
Well, I am so happy to be here. I want everybody to understand the history of this place. This is not your typical thrown together dude ranch. This place has, I mean, the roots run deep here.
Yeah, you know, I've always been very fortunate. I've always been very thankful that my great-grandfather stopped right here back in 1926. He originally had an idea of a cattle ranch and to raise cattle and have that kind of lifestyle of fishing and the hunting and all that good stuff. When Grand Teton National Park expanded and the ranch became part of the national park, the grazing was phased out. But he had started cabins because he'd always had family and friends that would come out and stay with him during the summer. So he put some cabins up, and why not? A little free labor. they loved the mountains and to get their hands dirty during the day. So when the cattle were taken away, we already had some cabins built. So it was an easy transition for us to get into the dude ranch business.
So what year did he buy this?
1926.
1926, and he had the vision and forethought to buy one of the most beautiful pieces of land at the pretty much the base of the Teton Mountains. And how many acres is it?
Well, when he originally bought it, it was a homestead, so 160 acres. And then a couple years later, he bought another homestead of another 160. So it was 320 acres was the original ranch. But now that we're part of the park concession, we have about 1,000 acres under our contract.
So you own and manage 1,000. Now, I feel like we've gone on rides that exceed 1,000 acres and surrounding area.
Yeah, you know, that's actually, it's the park land. And we just lease, or in our contract, kind of lease it from them for grazing and everything else. But then we also have use days. We have a national forest, which borders us here to the east. And we do a lot of rides back in the National Forest. And then also a lot of our rides go out of that 1,000 acres. That's pretty much just the ranch land and then the grazing. So our rides, yes, you cover a lot more miles than that.
So as a guest, when I've been here, you ride 3 hours in the morning. You get amazing breakfast. Then you come and you ride 3 hours. And then you have lunch. And then you ride another 3 hours. So 6 hours total in the saddle. You don't have to do every ride. My dad certainly didn't. I think he did once every other day, but I was on all of them. And the way that you guys kind of negotiate with people on what style they want to do. But there's three groups. There's the fast, the medium, and the slow, right?
Yeah.
Still that way?
For every ride. You have a fast, medium, slow ride. Also, lesson ride, nature rides, where you can go and look at some flora and fauna. But there's a lot more to it than just that. You know, we start evaluating the guests that come, even during the reservation process, to know their experience, their size, what they're comfortable with. And then you try to match them with the correct horse. They have a chance throughout the week, if they don't like the horse that they're riding, to switch to a horse that suits their needs. It's amazing the different requests you get.
Really? Yeah. Like what? What's some of the good ones?
I need a white horse, I think.
So. Oh, oh my God. I was seven, okay? I wanted a white horse. Well, this past time when I came out, the first time I came out in my 20s, TJ was the head wrangler, and he said to me, do you ride? And I said, yes, I do. And he goes, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm a three-day eventer. And he goes, you're in the fast group. Moving on. But then he goes, hey, ask me later. He goes, what kind of horse do you want? And I was like, a fun one. Yeah. So I was trying to think of the math. For like 90-something hours, I've sat on this horse here named Chestnut. And this, I haven't been here in 8 years. And I, you know, these guys have jobs and they get used. And then, you know, I just never imagined that he would still be here. And so I came the other day and I saw him in the corral and he's so old and swaybacked and beautiful. And I started crying uncontrollably and I love him so much. And my husband is in here. He's rolling his eyes. So, how's my little Chestnut doing?
He's doing great. You know, he knows his job. He's good at his job, as you know. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot of love affairs with that horse.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing with especially the younger guests. That's who we cater to. We cater to the families. And, you know, there's more tears shed the Sunday that they're leaving. Not because of those mountains or the food or anything. It's the bond that they get with the horse that they've been riding all week. And then they can't wait for another year to come back and jump on that same horse. And it gets to be quite the relationship.
So I'm not the only one who has fallen in love with Chestnut and cried when they left?
No.
Okay, good. No. So, Robert, with all the special relationships people have with your horses out here, where do these... You look through this corral, and I'm going to post some pictures later, and there are spotted horses and paint horses and bay horses and Chestnut horses and Frisians. We'll get to that in a minute. So where do these horses come from? How on earth do you vet them for this job and know which ones are going to make it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, over the years, we've always gotten our horses locally. You know, when I say locally, in Wyoming, Idaho, Montana. But over the recent years, there hasn't been much breeding out west. And we're going farther and farther away to find these horses. When you buy them, you don't exactly know how they're going to work in the Dude Ranch business. So when we get a new bunch of horses in every spring, they go through a process of training with some of our horse trainers, and then the wranglers ride them, usually for a whole season, before we put them into the Dude string and put guests on them. So they go through quite the process before we can put before we feel comfortable to put guests on. Now, not all of them make the cut. You know, some of them. Just the wranglers will ride for their entire career here on the Triangle X Ranch. Others move on. We just can't afford to have horses here that aren't being used.
How many horses are here?
Right now, during the summer months, we have 250 head. The ranch has 200 head of horses and mules. And that's about what our winter habitat can handle. Now, we need about another 50, so we rent another 50 horses from a gentleman south of here. And we have a great relationship with him, so we get the same horses every year. Some of our rental horses we've had for 20 plus years, and they come up here every summer. So we get to know them quite well also.
So the horses that you have, there's no specific age, size, breed, gender. They're just kind of come as you are.
Come as you are. You know, we also run a wilderness operation in the mountains, and in the wilderness, we like a little bigger bone, a little heavier animal. So we'll get into the crossbreeds. Percheron and quarter horse cross seem to work the best. I get the size of the Percheron, the athleticism of a quarter horse. Here on the ranch, since we do have such a wide variety of rides and riders with the slow, medium, and fast ride, and we get people from five-year-old beginners to people who've been riding their entire life. So we want quite a selection out there to be able to match everybody's needs and wants. So we don't necessarily have a breed. Every breed kind of brings a different thing to the table, and they all work for different people.
Gotcha. I think what everybody is thinking right now is, how do I get a job riding horses for an entire season at the Triangle X?
You know, application. Yeah, you can get an application online at our website. Of course, we have a lot of jobs here on the ranch, and everybody wants to be a wrangler. You know, that's just the way it is.
You got to start as a cook, and you got to start as a prep cook or one of the cabin girls, because there are girls that clean cabins too.
Yes, and we hire a lot of people from within that have come and worked on the ranch in different departments and then become wranglers. A lot of times we're looking for a personality, and then we will teach them everything that has to do with the stock.
There's the wrangler, there's the guest that comes out here to the ranch and spends, you know, like me, gains more weight than you lose when you come on to a place like this, because the food's so amazing. And then you've got other hardcore wilderness people that come and do pack trips. And you guys do float trips too, but tell me a little bit about the pack trips, because we'll never do one. So I might as well learn about them from you.
All right.
I like a bed.
You know, the wilderness pack trips, we take them in the Teton Wilderness. It's the largest wilderness area in the lower 48. And they range anywhere from 4 days to 14 days.
Yeah, buddy. Camping out 14 days. Woohoo! Glenn, you're in on that.
And, you know, the trips cater to what they want to do. Some of them want to get up there and go fishing. Some of them want to go for short rides. Some of them want to go for all-day rides. Some of them don't even want to be on a trail. They just want to go out and bushwhack as much as they can.
And some of them want to go see and pet the elk. That's all they do up there, is they just feed the elk and pet them. And I don't want to hear anything else from your mouth about that.
If you say so. Yeah, we also have some pet grizzly bears up there.
Uh-huh. Nice fuzzy bears. You can pet those and feed them berries. They love that.
Yeah, so the pack trips, you know, I love the wilderness area. I love the pack trips. I love getting out there. There's not many places left in this world where you can have an experience like that. You just get lost. Some people just get up there and get in camp, and there's no outside sounds, and they sit down with a book, an actual book.
And some people have satellite phones with them, and their wife gets tossed off a horse, and they don't have their satellite phone turned on. And so somebody then has to ride into the wilderness and find them and locate them and say, hey, your wife fell off a horse. Do you know anybody that?
Yeah, that's hitting pretty close to home. I appreciate that.
She's fine now, by the way. She's fine.
She is fine. I don't think she'll be jumping on any colts by herself anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we're thankful for that. We're thankful that she's okay. But that is part of the wilderness, yeah.
And now, she did come off of one of the most beautiful animals on the planet. Why on earth did you start getting Frisians here?
You know, I really hadn't been around Frisians that much. I was looking for horses this past winter, and one of our employees came across a breeder of Frisians in Virginia. And like I was saying, we have to go farther and farther away for horses. And I said if he could get a truckload of horses, we'll send a trailer out and bring them back. And sure enough, he found a truckload of Frisians, all young, All of them are eligible to be papered. A few of them are papered.
You found a fire sale of Frisians. That is every little girl's dream. You mean there's a truckload of Frisians I can buy? Where do I sign up?
Yeah. Yes, and they're not disappointing us. They're absolutely gorgeous animals. They're all working out very well.
I'll post the selfie I took with the most gorgeous gelding. I guess he's a gelding now. Yeah. He was a stallion.
He was a stallion. In fact, he's the father of most of them that came out. All of his babies are here with him. So we kind of brought the whole family.
I love it. I love it. Well, where can people find out more if they are thinking, oh, this is where I want to go? This is where, and this is where you need to go, by the way. But this is where, if this is where they want to go, they want to work, they want to visit, they want to do a pack trip, they want to do a flow trip, or just come as a guest. What? How do they find out more?
Yeah, the best source of information is our website, trianglex.com. And that has all the information on there. And then if they're really interested, give me a call. I'm almost always in the office.
Unless he's up in the mountains with his satellite phone turned off.
That doesn't happen enough.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for joining us. And thanks for letting us hang out and hosting us. I'm going to go get on Chestnut and gallop home to Arizona with him. Bye.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for putting that together. It makes me want to take a trip to Wyoming. Jennifer, we're going to the wrong place this year.
Yeah, you need to go there. It's amazing.
It does. It makes me want to go. It's like so exciting. Do they have carriages? Is there wagons, something I can drive instead of riding?
You know what? I took my daddy, and my dad does not ride. And they said, what horse do you want to ride? And he goes, the oldest, slowest one you have. And they had one. So there is possibility for you to ride. I don't think they're going to carry you around in the truck.
Okay. All right. I'll check. We'll have to check on that for next year. Well, we have exciting news coming to you here on Horses in the Morning right now, live from the Chincoteague Pony Swim. And this girl heard that we needed somebody to talk this morning. Her name is Kim Porter, and I happen to know she's a listener of the Driving Radio Show. And if I remember correctly, drives Chincoteague ponies. Kim, what's going on there?
The helicopters are flying overhead, and the ponies are just getting ready to plink into the water within minutes, I think.
Can you see with the 10,000s of people there?
Oh, well, we are lucky enough to be on a boat right in the front. The ponies will swim within feet of us. We are just
cool.
On the front line in a boat.
How cool is that? How many are there going to be this year? Do you know?
100 and I don't know how many are swimming. 100 and around 50, maybe.
Okay. Cool. And you own you've bought some, haven't you, over the years?
Yes, I have three, and they're fabulous. They're wonderful. Yep.
Does this mean this year is going to be four?
No more. Because a divorce would be very expensive.
Now, have you seen the prices going up? Have they become, with all these people now, have they become much more popular with people like you out there driving them around competitions and showing them off?
In fact, I think with the economy or whatever, the prices have actually gone down. They're a lot cheaper now than when I bought mine in 2005 and 2006. And I also have a friend who's actually on the boat here with us that has one who is competing in combined training. I think he's stepping up to prelim in combined training. So
cool.
He's pretty amazing.
So tell us the scene right now. What do you see? Give us a play by play.
There are thousands and thousands of people on the shore standing in the mud. They've been standing in the mud since 3 o'clock this morning. We actually had to get up at about 3:15 to get on a boat to get out here, but we're in a very nice, comfortable boat that we've been using these guys for the last several years to get us out here. But there's a lot of people standing in the mud, a lot of people.
Because it's been raining nonstop, hasn't it? Has it been raining a lot?
No, we had a little bit of a shower earlier, just a little bit, and now the sun's out and it's quite beautiful. It's warm, but and there are a couple of Coast Guard boats waiting to send off the flare when the tide is slack, and then that will signal the ponies to swim across.
Now, why do they do the swim for people who have no idea and haven't read any of the books?
Okay. Well, the fire company owns the herd on the Assateague, the Virginia side of Assateague Island. They own the herd. And they have a grazing permit for 150 ponies. And so they swim them across. They parade them through town. They go to the carnival grounds, and the mares are separated from the foals, and they sell the foals. And it's a fundraiser for the fire company. You know, while they're at it, when they get them caught in the pens, they give them vaccines and they deworm them. They do a minimal of care just to keep the herd healthy and hardy and tough.
Got it. Now, Jamie had a question earlier. She has Mustangs, and she had a question earlier. She said, are these actually Mustangs? And I said, I think they've been separated long enough. They're kind of Chincoteague ponies. They're their own thing, right?
Their own breed?
Yes.
Okay.
They're their own breed. They have introduced a few outside horses over the years to the herd. Most recently, a couple of half-Arab stallions, or several half-Arab stallions, were put out on the island to try to make them a little bit taller, make the heads a little prettier, you know, that kind of thing. But no, they're their own breed. I mean, the legend is that they were shipwrecked from a Spanish galleon, and I'm going with that.
Me too.
And along with piles of gold nobody's ever found somewhere on the island.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for checking in with us. We need to get you back on the driving show here some point, too, to talk. Get us an update on your ponies.
I would love to do that, and I'm happy to send you a video for your website or something them going across.
Do that, please, or post it on our Facebook page or something on Horses in the Morning.
Yes,
would love that.
All right, I absolutely will.
All right,
wonderful.
Thanks, Kim Porter, for checking in with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Great talking to you.
How cool is that? I mean, called for it at the beginning of the show, and there it was. She shows
That's
up.
That's awesome.
We have
That's
listeners
awesome.
Everywhere. And I had totally forgotten about Kim, and she heard we were looking for somebody, and she had been on our driving show years ago, and I remembered, she drives Chincoteague ponies, because there's not too many of them that drive that are used for that, especially in competitions.
And prelim eventing? Dude, that's amazing.
Mm. Because they tend not to be too big. I mean, they're not real big ponies, and their bellies seem to hang to the ground, at least once. pictures of.
You can ride that off of them, Glenn.
They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go out and watch that with tens of thousands of your friends in the mud.
They don't do it every day. They just do it once a year. I totally do that.
She sounds like she has a seat, though, on a boat at the front lines. They're going to swim right by her.
She's living well. She's living well for sure.
Well, Jennifer's gonna get Elisa Wallace on here. Hopefully, we're hoping Elisa has enough of a connection to get on here with us. Let's get back to the place in Wyoming. That fascinates me a little bit here. So you started going there years ago and you've gone quite often.
I went when I was like 8 years old with my parents. And then in my 20s, weird long story short, I had a boyfriend and we had a vacation planned and I broke up with him we broke up about 2 weeks before our vacation. I had the week off of work already. So I was pissed and I was like, I'm going somewhere. Where do I want to go? I was like, I'm going to go be a cowgirl. So I looked at a million different ranches and, you know, I thought I'm going to drive cattle. And then I looked at the pictures of all the cattle drive websites and the people in the photos looked really tired. And I thought, I don't think I want to drive cattle. So I went and I thought, well, I'll just go look up that place that I went as a kid. And so then I went in my 20s and then I went again and then I went again and it kind of became where I spend my money when I was doing radio. So how I ended up.
And if any of the listeners have a strange idea that it would be fun for the Horses in the Morning team to do the 2-week pack trip and camp in the woods, it ain't happening. I'm just saying. Not happening.
Yeah, camping for 2 weeks sounds, like I said, like you guys enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. If you have those fancy glamping tents, we'd be happy to sign up. But other than that, we're not doing it.
This is like, that's one of those, yeah, that's one of those places you dig a hole, probably.
Yeah,
you know? People love that stuff. And like I said, they just hug bears and hug elks and they don't shoot nothing. I promise.
And we'll let you guys enjoy that. And you can report in live on your satellite telephone.
Yes.
We have our next guest. She has been on the show probably more than, I can guarantee you, she's been on the show more than anybody in the last 5 years. Her husband will be on tomorrow with the Horse Husbands episode where he is waxing philosophical. And you're going to want to tune in for that tomorrow morning. But right now, we have his wife on the phone, Elisa Wallace. Hey, Elisa.
Hey, guys.
Where are you at? You're in Virginia or somewhere up there?
Yes, I'm up at Virginia at Overlook Farm right now.
And you're getting ready and making preparations to hopefully head over to Burley Horse Trials in England, right?
That is correct. Yep. Trying to make sure we're prepared to go across the pond.
And now that is in September?
Yes, it's the first week in September.
Well, that's not too far away anymore, actually. And of course,
yeah, it's kind of like a time crunch.
And unfortunately this time you're going to be at home watching the Olympics with the rest of us. But that just gives you time to go to Burley, which is probably going to be a better experience anyway in England. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Burley, Rolex, and badminton are always my lifelong goals. And so if the Olympics happen, they happen. That's great. But, you know, it was amazing to be part of the selection process, and being named an alternate is something I'll never forget. And it's pretty cool too. So I'll be rooting for the home team down in Rio. And it's pretty exciting stuff. I'm really looking forward to this September.
And of course, you're going to be taking over to Burley Simply Prices. Priceless. Johnny is his name. And for those that don't know, he's an Australian thoroughbred, right?
That's correct. He is coming 15. Birthdays for the Australian horses are in November. So that's when he actually turns 15. So, yep, it'll be exciting.
When you're doing Burley and badminton and those, and you see the mansion, the huge house there and the beautiful grounds, does that ever get old? That has to be just like the coolest thing ever to see all of that and to be part of it.
I haven't been to Burley yet, so this will be my first time. But when I went over and did Blenheim, it's absolutely breathtaking. You just always want to stop and stare at it. And the pictures always turn out amazing. And it really is. Every time I'm there, I'm always just pinching myself because you just don't believe it and just how amazing it is there.
One day, Jamie. One day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the event for those who don't know is centered around one of the most gorgeous castles in the world. It's just incredible. And so you're going to go now. What I've seen, Elisa, by the way, hello. Thank you for coming on. Is that you're
hello.
Doing first off a GoFundMe to try to get help to get there, because you know, you guys know Elisa is one of the hardest working people on the planet, and she is also self-funded. She's got some great sponsors and everything, but you know, Elisa didn't come from old money, people. She's scratching her way through this. And so she's trying to get a little bit of help to go to Burley. And then also, I just saw on Facebook this morning that you are auctioning off your Rolex saddle.
Yes. Yeah, so the one that I rode in at my first Rolex. And it's all pretty exciting. I feel like this is a great opportunity to involve even more people. And unfortunately I wasn't able to receive a grant for this season, because last year I was able to get a grant, and that does help, take up the cost. It's roughly around like 20,000 to fly our horses over there and back. So it really is kind of a big expense, but you know, that's why we work extra hard and sell what we have and teach more lessons and try to, you know, I'm going, so I'm going to make sure I find a way to get there. But I'm excited for someone to have my saddle. I have this year, I rode in the new saddle that I helped design. And so that saddle just kind of been sitting there, and I'm like, well, you know, this is a great opportunity. It's a beautiful saddle. It's in great condition. And it's always close to my heart because it went around Rolex, and, you know, it kind of was like the beginning of everything. So
it has Rolex DNA on it.
It does. It has a piece of Kentucky in there, I'm sure, from some of the dirt or the mud.
What is the saddle? Tell everybody about it.
It's made by Custom Saddlery, which is who one of my sponsors are, and they make amazing saddles. And it's called a Monte Carlo. It's a 17 and a half. And all of their saddles are medium wide, but they're really great because they're wolf lock, so it can be completely customed, and they can actually open it or narrow it. Now, currently, it's fitted for a narrow high-withered thoroughbred because that's what Johnny is. Those can actually be really hard horses to fit, and this fit Johnny great, and he always did really well in it. So, yeah, I think it would be a good saddle for somebody.
There you go, Jamie. You can say that I didn't ride Rolex, but my saddle did.
That's as close to Rolex as I'm going to get.
So the way we're kind of doing it is interesting. We're doing it through our Facebook page on Wallace Eventing. And basically how you bid for it is through the comments section. So it'll be pretty fun because then you can kind of follow and see how the bids happen and all that stuff. So that's the information on that.
And I'm just going to take a look at it now, and there's lots of pictures of it, of you sitting there with it. So this will be
interesting. There's also a little bit of vlog about it as well.
Oh, you already have a bid for $1,000.
There we go. That is, I believe, Molly Davidson, who has been a really incredible fan and supporter. So,
well, that's
just
great.
The community, I have to say, everybody is super amazing, and you guys with all the support, you know, I really can never say thank you enough. So,
well, and you also let me borrow your husband once a month to hang out on the Horse Husband Show, and then everything nice you say about him can go out the window the day after. So, I appreciate that too, Elisa.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know what's so funny? I got to tell you guys. So one of the questions he came up with for tomorrow's show was, which horse movies don't suck? That's the first question we tackled on our panel tomorrow of Horse Husbands. And I got to tell you, they all lost their man cred because they all thought Man from Snowy River was great.
See?
I'm pulling their man cards. I'm pulling their cards.
What are you talking about?
Have you even seen it, Glenn?
I don't have
Man
to
from see. Snowy River is amazing. Do I need to jump to this phone and do something? Because like,
me too.
Don't be talking about Man from Snowy River. I know that movie, and Return from Snowy River, okay? Like, that's like the Holy Grail.
And this is why Elisa and I are just destined to be best friends. Because I too can recite every line. And Glenn, the fact that you haven't seen it and you're ripping it, you're going to have to. I need
to
somebody to periscope Glenn
totally
watching
no
this
basis.
Movie. It's crazy.
Totally. That's just total man ignorance right there.
He wishes he was 1/10 of the man Jim Craig is. Okay.
I mean, don't even start talking about fur, let alone the fact that, I mean, Kirk Douglas plays two people. I mean, come on.
It's genius.
He had dual personalities, or he actually played two people?
He plays his brother.
Don't even tell him. He doesn't even deserve to know Elisa until he gets his butt in there and sees that movie. Jennifer hasn't seen it either, and I'm sick and tired of this nonsense that happens.
What is wrong with these people?
I don't know. This is what I have to deal with all the time, Elisa. It's ridiculous. And so going back, aside from those two, because obviously they're the two greatest horse movies of all time, what would be your favorite horse movie?
Ooh. Well, there are so many, but I have to say, like, International Velvet is a big one because, I mean, that's Eventing, and, I mean, it is. Yeah. Black Stallion, The Return of the Black Stallion, Sylvester is another big one, Farlap.
Oh, God, I'm going to cry just thinking about it.
Yeah, those are the ones off the top of my head. Of course, like, the newer ones, like, Secretariat's pretty good, and
Seabiscuit.
I'm blanking on the other one. Seabiscuit. Those are pretty good too.
Well, but, you pretty much just named all my
favorites. My go-tos are those.
Yeah.
So, well, you guys are going to have to tune in tomorrow to see who the horse husbands picked as their favorite horse movies.
I was going to rip on Jamie a little bit. How's your new Mustang doing that I picked out for you?
Oh my God. You're picking out every horse of mine for the rest of my life. So I hope you appreciate signing up for that job. Did you see the pictures?
So that's good.
I did listen to you.
I did. He's so amazing.
Oh my gosh, Elise.
He's so adorable. I just want to squeeze his little cheeks.
I do it every day. He's the most fun horse I've evented probably ever. He's that much fun.
Awesome.
He's so
is he
fun.
Getting lots of attention when he goes?
When he what?
Do people come up and talk to you about him when he goes?
Absolutely. He is, he's so flashy and everybody looks, and his freeze brand is very bright and he's got white legs and the big blaze that comes down his face. He is a very big showstopper.
Yeah,
and
he's Mustang eye candy, so.
Yeah. And I was reading an article on a horse, I think it was Eventing Nation or Horse Nation, about how you kind of address the comments that people make about Mustangs. And one of them is like, oh my God, he's so pretty and well built for a Mustang. Or he's so.
Yeah, it's very true. But I catch myself saying that too. So I can't really. I'm like, oh my gosh, that one's, tall for a Mustang or, light from so you catch yourself saying those things too. But it is funny how there's a little bit of Mustang racism sometimes.
Yes. Well, I saw a friend had a thoroughbred and I was like, man, that's a huge horse. And she's like, he's only like 16.3. You're just used to dealing with those little Mustangs. And I was like, oh, that hurts.
Whoa there.
Exactly.
Whoa there.
Exactly.
I can
and
see
so
it now in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., the Mustang march to the Washington Monument.
I love it.
Right.
I love it. Well, and your Mustangs, how are they doing?
Oh, they're doing great. I've kind of, Wynn has been on a little bit of vacation after our spring where she had moved up to prelim. So I just kind of gave her a little bit of a break, which I think she needed one. And then I have the younger ones that are coming along really great. Or I, in fact, have a 16 hand one, Palomino. That's Mustang. And then I've had a really cool one that I've been vlogging about who is, I think he was around 13, but he was actually a band stallion out in the up in Oregon, and he's a Kyger Mustang. And so I've been training him for clients, and it's been a very, very slow process. I mean, he was just gelded in December, but he has been a really cool horse and has taught me a lot. And it's been like I took him off property for the first time yesterday, and he was amazing. And he still is the type of horse that will kind of snort at you, and you may think that you can't catch him, but he will go through teeter totters and cowboy curtains and over these narrow bridges and go in the dressage ring with flowers. And he's never seen any of this stuff before. So they really, really, my heart was smiling on Sunday. It was just so much fun to finally, that's the best part about the Mustangs and the thoroughbreds. You know, when you go through all this hard work and you get the rewards and how they change and how their bodies change. And it really is. That's the addictive part.
Yeah,
be careful now. How many potato chips do you have?
Only two right now. But gosh, I mean, I now what I want to do, and I don't have the facility for it, but I will someday, actually in the next 3 years. I bought property in Oklahoma, and it's actually only 45 minutes from Paul's Valley. And that's a holding facility.
That
for
is
those
dangerous.
Oh my God. Watch out. Chad's like, we're
I know
in
Paul's
so
Valley.
Much trouble. Yeah. So
they have some really nice horses there too.
Beautiful horses. I went and walked around and took pictures, and I just was like, I cannot wait to get down here and get one to start my own. Cause now I'm feeling more confident. I understand the personality. I'm learning more every day, and I'm inspired by you. And I want to, my bucket list item is to.
Yeah.
To
start. How do you like those facility borns?
Oh my gosh. Totally different. They are different.
Uh-huh.
You know, where
they are different.
So horses, Mustangs are either born in the wild or sometimes their mother is captured pregnant and they're born in the facility. And this horse is almost unstallable. He has destroyed every feed bucket, water bucket, and anything, fly masks he can't wear. He's just into everything. And I've realized it's because he had 6 years of standing in a holding facility to try to learn how to entertain himself. And he is so cheeky and so in your pocket and just such a different personality. You can walk right in the stall with him and fling your arms around. He's like, hey, if you did that with Thor, he'd be in the back of the stall still. I mean, you can't take him for granted, where the other one, you're like, ah, you're just a horse.
Yeah. He sounds a lot like Rune. Rune is a big dog who will lick you to death if you're not careful.
Yeah, exactly. So for those who are interested in Mustangs, where do you go to adopt them? Where's the easiest place to go?
Well, the BLM.org has information about the adoptions. There's the internet adoptions that are available, and then also Mustang Heritage Foundation is probably the best bet for people that don't know anything about Mustangs and getting involved and going to a makeover where trainers have the horses for 120 days. And then those horses are available for auction. So you're able to get a trained horse similar to, and as well, like you did the prison program. So there are ways to get the horses, even though there's a limited number of them on the East Coast, they are able to get out here. And it's the Mustang community is amazing. It's very large and everyone is very supportive. And we are the worst people to call if you're debating about getting a horse, because we will make you get it.
Talking right into it.
Well, I do
enablers.
Oh yeah. Every time somebody says I'm thinking about it, I go, do it. I'm like, that's
do
what
it.
Yep. Used to yell at me. So we didn't mean to get off on the Mustang tangent. You know, you and I getting together are gonna talk about it, but we wanna make sure we definitely plug your Burley GoFundMe.
Well, I just wanted to say, while you two were talking about Mustangs, we may disagree on movies, but I just made a donation to your Burley Fund. I GoFundMe.
So much,
while you two were jibber jabbering, I was doing something productive. It's just
saying. No, that is a first, Jamie?
I don't even believe him.
All right, Elisa, you're breaking up. We can't hear you anymore. Sorry, we have a bad connection. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I still have a good connection.
Hey, Elisa, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you definitely the best of luck, and we'll definitely keep everybody posted. And thanks for picking out one of the coolest horses ever for me. I just love him.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for helping me out. And I love following Mr. Zeus. So,
well, Zeus and Thor. Zeus and Thor are both going to Monty Roberts for 2 weeks starting Saturday. So we're going to go and we're going to train with Monty and do some courses, and they're going to be used in the clinics for line driving and join up and clipping and all sorts of fun stuff. So the Mustang education continues starting Saturday. So I couldn't be happier.
Very cool.
Thank you very much. And I'll keep you guys posted on that for sure.
All right. Thanks, Elisa.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
I like GoFundMe because it's easy. They make it so easy to do. I hate the ones that you go to that when you go to the FundMe things, the different ones work different ways, and they make you fill out like 10 pages of information just to give a donation. I just want it done. You know. So
yeah,
just,
it's really easy. And actually, when you have a GoFundMe, like I did for Lucky, there's even an app you can download and check it all the time. You can donate to other GoFundMes from your app. It's really neat. They've really got it figured out. So it's just a wonderful thing. And I see that you made a donation. So wonderful job. And I'll be making mine. And I hope everybody else makes theirs.
Well, I don't need a saddle. So I thought that would probably be a better way
to do. Your wife does. Take it.
And if you're interested in the saddle, just go to Wallace Eventing on Facebook. It's the first post right there. The bids are currently at $1,000 for her saddle, which it looks like it looks comfy, actually. It looks like a very comfy
amazing.
Saddle.
It's so amazing. Well, hey,
check that out.
Just a mental note, and write this down. Next time we talk to Elisa, start with the Mustangs and then end with the rest of it, because she gets way more excited
I know.
And chatty.
It's so funny.
when you talk Mustang.
I know, it's so funny. It's, you know, her career is eventing, but when her passion is the Mustangs.
Yeah, it is.
That comes across too, but can you imagine riding in a badminton or a burly? Oh,
just, I want to ride in a Lisa.
I just want to go watch it. That's on the bucket list.
No.
It's just on the bucket list. Hey, Jennifer, it's always the first week of September. That's our vacation time next year.
There you go.
Next year. We'll have to, we'll bring Jamie. We'll all have a vacation together. We'll all go to Burley.
I figured that since Elise is selling her Rolex saddle, she's going to be doing Burley bareback.
Ah, there you go.
She could.
Yeah. I don't, is that legal? Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you to all our guests today. What a great lineup of guests we had. Even impromptu ones calling in from on a boat at the pony swim at Chincoteague. So we appreciate her checking in too, and everybody was involved. Also, our terrific sponsor, Ovation. Ovation has the greatest products. Go to ovationriding.com to check out all of their products. Tomorrow on the show is Horse Husbands. Of course, none of the women are allowed to listen. It's only men. So that's on tomorrow's show. And then Friday, we're giving away a prize. We have a Carrots competition jacket that we're giving away for really bad ads. Jennifer, they still have a chance to be in on this one, right? If they send ads in?
Yes, they do.
So send them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. If you're brave, get out your phone and record the ad yourself with your commentary and send it over to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
I think that if you record your ad, it should count for two entries.
Do you think? Put them on
yes.
Twice? Yeah, that's true, because
I'm
it requires that extra effort.
Yes, I'm making that right now. If you have recorded or will record your ad, we will put your name in twice.
There you go. And we're also, I think, going to have somebody from Carrots on to do the drawing with us on Friday. So looking
awesome.
Forward to that as well. That's it. Jamie, I know you have the child and a puppy, which about the same, actually. So for keeping track of, they're about the same level of noise, too, at times, I believe.
Yep.
So go have fun with that today. We'll see you all back here tomorrow morning. Take care, everybody.
Fun show. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a great one. This puppy just